Hello and welcome to Technology Today. This is your host, Rich Kasmer. On Technology Today, we discuss technology issues of the day and examine how technology is affecting our lives these days. And as I say every week, seems to be having a bigger and bigger impact on all of us. And we're fortunate this evening to have a guest in the studio with us. We have David Shookman from Princeton Technology Advisors. David, I'll let you introduce yourself in a moment, but this evening we'll be talking about cloud computing with David. So, David, welcome to the show this evening.
Great. Thanks, Rich. Thanks for inviting me for today.
Well, thanks for being here. And, David, I'll just let you also give a little bit of background on yourself and what you're currently doing.
Well, sure. I'm a longtime IT professional with a wide variety of experiences, and while I've worked for a long time in corporate America, I now have my own company, Princeton Technology Advisors. I've had that for a couple of years, and my client base tends to be small business, not-for-profits, organizations that typically have little or no IT resources, and I'm able to provide a full range of services to meet their needs.
And if anybody would like to check out David's website while we're speaking, it's PrincetonTechAdvisors.com, and it's T-E-C-H, Tech Advisors, PrincetonTechAdvisors.com. All right, so let's talk. Jump into our topic for this evening. Again, it's cloud computing. We'll talk a little bit about what it is, what some of the benefits are, and what are some of the things to watch out for. So, David, let's start off with what is cloud computing? We hear it quite a bit, and I think probably it can be a little confusing for people.
Yeah, for people that are not familiar with it at all, it can be a little confusing. And why do you use a term like cloud, which doesn't sound very technical, to provide very technical solutions? And I think it originated because what tended to happen is people began to create these diagrams of relationships of systems. The cloud was this big stuff, had a lot of information, but they didn't provide a lot of details. So they just put a puffy cloud on the picture and drew little arrows of where the data was coming from and going to. That's my take on why it was called cloud computing. But very simply, it's all the same services that maybe you're familiar with that you've had before. Computer servers, programs, apps, databases. But instead of installing them at your own office or even at your home, which would be maybe very cost prohibitive, you subscribe to the service. Instead of paying an upfront cost, buying licensing, paying for programs, you subscribe for the use, and you get to use it as long as you want, as long as you continue to subscribe. If you need more and more services, if you need more servers, more programs, more apps, you can subscribe to those, and when you don't need them any longer, you can cancel those subscriptions. So it's really very flexible, and because you're not paying a lot of money up front, it becomes a very cost-effective, especially for organizations that don't have a big capital budget but really have some good operating budget to support their needs.
Okay. Very good. And before we came on the air, you shared with me a question that you asked one of your classes that you teach, which was, who here doesn't use cloud computing? And hands went up.
So I do teach several classes locally in the Princeton area. They're computer-oriented classes. And I usually start off, who does not use cloud computing? And regardless of the class size, always a few hands go up. And I think people just don't realize how accessible it is and how much we're using it. And so I usually then ask, well, who is your email service provider? And someone will say, oh, maybe Comcast or Gmail, Google. And I'll say, oh, well, do you have the servers in your home or do you connect via the Internet? They said, oh, no, of course, I connect by the Internet. And then the little light bulb goes off in their head when I tell them, oh, that's cloud computing. You're accessing programs or apps remotely.
So it's a great example of a cloud computing service.
Yeah, I think the only one who doesn't, of course, it's popular news. Hillary Clinton had her own servers in her home, so she was not using cloud for email, but I think the rest of the country is.
Well, there's probably some big businesses that have their own servers, but they're probably connected into the Internet and providing some other kinds of cloud services.
Certainly, large companies or organizations will have their own email servers. It just becomes more cost-effective for them to do so. But you're right. They're likely connected to other services or run other programs remotely as well, or their staff are using them. That's true.
Okay. So let's turn our attention to some of the benefits of cloud computing, and then we'll come back and maybe talk about a few more services that fit into the category of cloud computing. So what are some of the benefits?
There are a number. As I was mentioning a little bit earlier, because you subscribe to it, you don't need a lot of investment cash the way it used to be. I can remember when I managed data centers and we needed to replace our servers. We would go out and spend tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars for new servers, which run all the programs, the data storage for housing all our data, and big investment. And then on top of that was our annual maintenance and expense and repair expense that we always had in place. As we started switching to cloud for some services, what we realized was we didn't have to make that big capital expense or lay out all that money up front. Instead, we paid a monthly fee, and we negotiated in the monthly fee the maintenance and repair service as well. And so that worked out very nicely.
So some small companies that maybe used to have their own email servers now find it much more cost-effective to have someone else run their email and
absolutely
pay less.
And even for organizations that require very secure email, even HIPAA, you can get encrypted services as well that do provide that level of protection. Mm-hmm. I suppose there must be some industries that have higher levels of regulation where some of those services may still need to be kept in-house. But for most companies, and certainly for my clients, which are small business and not-for-profit, they tend to be very careful with their investable income or investable assets. But if they have a decent business, decent income, they do have a means for operating income, and that works out very well for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So savings is definitely a key benefit. What are some other benefits of cloud?
What also becomes nice is the support level is all managed by somebody else. So you don't have to worry about other programs optimized and running properly, especially some databases and other big programs. So that could be a big benefit. What winds up happening as you start recognizing the amount of support that is part of the contract, for some companies, and it's a little unfortunate in the job search world, but you can then roll back the size of your IT staffing budget. You can put that staffing budget someplace else, hopefully. Mm-hmm. So it can be a cost savings from a staffing perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another benefit becomes, you know, there are a lot of times in IT, there are projects that we start. Maybe it's time to replace our software with the new version, or maybe we're going to try a different brand or manufacturer, different vendor software. And what we used to do in the old days were buy the servers that we needed to install the software. Well, now what we can do is we can simply contract for the servers that we need for a short period of time if we're going to use self-installed, or even just contract with the vendor that's the service provider and not even have servers at all that are part of our budget. And that may be for 6 months or so as we evaluate software. The same could be done with hardware. So when we have big projects, we can contract for short-term use of technology rather than acquiring it and keeping it for a long period of time.
So basically, you're renting space on a server, and someone else might even be using the same server, but you've got your own space to use and do whatever you need to do.
And that's certainly the case. It's likely, and it all depends on your contract with the service provider, where you're sharing servers with other people. They probably have a virtual server technology like a VMware or a Hyper-V. But it's all invisible to us as the user. We get a dedicated server name, a certain amount of memory space, processor speed that's guaranteed, storage space, all for our use, and we can use it for a very, very short period of time or an extended period of time. There are some companies that need extra computing power during certain times of the year, maybe month-end processing, quarter-year-end processing. And rather than keeping servers kind of mostly idle, even though they're running and disks are spinning, they get to just kind of rent the space for the few weeks of the year that they need it. And so, again, it long-term becomes a cost savings.
Okay. So in addition to savings, how about some of the other benefits of cloud computing?
I guess another benefit is a lot of times there's a lot of innovation that becomes available, this product that's out there that you're wondering even if it's worth investing in. And you can kind of subscribe and try it before you buy it. Imagine if you rented a car, the newest model that came out, go to the dealer, try it for a little while to see if you like it or not. So sometimes there are benefits of trying before buying. Accessibility also becomes a nice benefit, which is because the service often is hosted somewhere else, like at the vendor who's selling the software or the service, it means that you can connect to it by the internet. And what that means is that anybody, any of your staff working from home, if they're traveling, working from a hotel, as long as they have a good internet connection, they can keep connected to the office quite easily. And it's not within your own office infrastructure maintaining VPNs or other secure networks. It's all managed by the service provider.
It sounds like that might also facilitate more collaboration. Let's say you have a company that's got a couple of locations and the people in different locations, it sounds like might be able to work together more easily.
Certainly. And what would be nice is, or what runs it works out nicely, is that the vendors that are providing these applications remotely and these services, they're all set up very easily for remote connectivity. A lot of times offices, when they want to build collaboration across offices, they have to put an infrastructure in place to support that. And actually, more and more, there's one vendor that I work with, Lion Technologies, here in New Jersey, and they even offer subscription-based network hardware. So there's certain hardware that you do need to have in a mid-size office, a large office, and you tend to buy that, like firewalls and routers and switches and such. And what they offer is a subscription, kind of like your cable box. If you have cable TV or a Fios, you get a box that's put on top of your TV, you pay $5 a month or whatever, and anything goes wrong, your service provider will fix it for you, either remotely or replace it. And they do the same thing with office hardware for information technology. So it's a nice service, and it's something that I resell as well.
Okay, good. Any other benefits that you want to touch on?
I think at a high level, that's good for now. Certainly, it can be more efficient use of technology. A lot of times what happens in the old way of computing, every time we had a new application, new program, what we did was we bought another server. But now what we can do is we can kind of share that as well with other applications that are running on servers or only use the hardware that we need for that application. So, again, that could be an efficiency. It could be a cost savings as well.
Okay. So a couple of services come to mind that I'm not sure if they fit into the description of cloud computing or not. So something like the iCloud is just storing data in the cloud, considered cloud computing, storing things in iCloud, or Google and Yahoo have online storage space they make available. Microsoft's got OneDrive. Is that considered cloud computing?
Essentially, yes. Mm-hmm. I know I have that set up for both my home and business, where I do use both. I prefer the Google services and the Microsoft service. Mm-hmm. They both offer very nice connectivity and automatic synchronization. So the data is actually, with those services, stored on your own PC if you're using it on a small machine. It could also be stored on your server, but it's replicated as well for security purposes. Yeah, so if I ever have a crash with my office hardware, like my PCs and my laptop and my tablet, I know I can recover the data, and I can also connect to it remotely from any PC, like a library PC, any PC that I can find, and just log into my account and get to the data.
Okay. And along those same lines, then, something like an online backup service would also be considered cloud computing, correct?
It certainly would. In that case, you would contract with a backup service. It's a little bit different than the online data. Mm-hmm. And back up your data on a schedule and have it stored off-site. And you have to make sure, it's very important that we make sure we understand the difference between the active data that's backed up, which is the programs that are running, saving data each time we press the save button or enter a transaction, or the end-of-day backup, or the end-of-week or end-of-month backup. Those are different types of data. And it's more commonly used, those types of backups, maybe for a disaster recovery purpose, auditing at a point in time, reasons where you need to recover the data at a historical point in time.
Okay. Then there are two companies that I guess are major that have taken on this model, and there's probably many others that are much smaller, but Microsoft and Adobe both kind of make their software available via the internet now, and you don't necessarily buy it, but you rent it. Would Microsoft Office 365 and the Adobe products that you now kind of rent be considered cloud computing?
I would say the delivery model certainly is. I happen to use Office 365, and some people are very unaware of just what 365 is, the Office 365, and the same with Adobe. So if you have a PC, or what they just call a device, it could be your phone, it could be a Mac, those software now run on multiple platforms. And so you download the software just as if you purchased it, but rather than purchasing it, I think the Office Suite, it's about $230 to purchase. You subscribe to it. And for a single license, at least with Office 365, I believe it's $70 a year for a single license. But they have a really cool package for five licenses, for five different users, five different devices. It's $100 a year. So if you think about, if you're a small business and you have one or two people in the office, for that same $100 a year, they all get a copy. And then maybe you have a laptop and a desktop yourself. Maybe if you want it on your phone or your tablet. So it's $100 a year. And what do you get for $100 a year? They're patching it all the time. As they upgrade from 2016 to the next version, you're automatically eligible. And if you think about that, Microsoft replaces their software about every 3 years. If you had to buy it every 3 years, $230, five copies, that's close to $1,200. So you're spending $1,200 every 3 or 4 years. Well, what you would have spent is only $300 in those 3 years. So it's a big savings. Same software, just you're subscribing to it instead of purchasing it. It's installed on your devices.
Something for people to think about.
Sure.
All right, we'll take a very quick break here. Mention that you're listening to Technology Today. This is your host, Rich Kasmer. We're here on WDVR-FM, 89.7 in Delaware Township, 90.5 WPNJ in Easton, PA, and W245CC, 96.9 in Trenton. And this evening we're speaking with David Shookman from Princeton Technology Advisors, and we're talking about cloud computing. We just covered an overview of what cloud computing is, talked about some of the benefits and some of the services that fit the description. And in the remaining 8-9 minutes or so, we could talk a little bit about some of the concerns and things to watch out for. So, David, what are some people that what are some things people should be aware of or watch out for, questions they might want to think about asking when considering cloud computing services?
My broad opinion is it's all good. But as you enter into working with something new, just be aware of the requirements or the limitations or the things to be careful of. So one thing is, because you're using quite extensively your internet bandwidth, you have to make sure that you do have plenty of internet bandwidth. Some of the companies that might have older internet technologies like T1s, well, when you start passing a lot more data because you're putting your services and your programs and your data out of your company but off at the service provider, you do have to make sure that you've got plenty of bandwidth. And other things that competing with your bandwidth, especially if you have a small office, if anybody in your office is streaming music, that's cloud-based, well, that takes up bandwidth. If they're watching YouTube videos, probably just on their lunch hour. They never do that during their working time. Yeah. But that takes up some of the bandwidth, and you just have to be aware that that's being used. So make sure you have a good internet service provider. If you're fortunate enough, and most people are in areas where you have one of the big traditional providers like Verizon or some of the cellular or, I'm sorry, some of the other providers, what you'll do is, the cable providers, they have service levels and you can get more and more bandwidth as you need.
Okay. Besides the internet bandwidth, is there a concern with making sure you've got network equipment that's up to date enough to handle higher bandwidth?
And that would be the case as well. Mm-hmm. Certainly your routers, firewalls, switches all need to be able to handle that as well. Mm-hmm. If not, you can upgrade it. Sometimes it's a software upgrade. Sometimes it is physically a hardware upgrade. And so you may have to budget doing that. You can contract with a company, like I mentioned, Alliant Technologies, where you can actually contract for equipment, subscribe to it, rather than laying out the cash up front.
Okay. All right. What else should people consider when thinking about cloud computing offerings?
So one concept I have is you don't put all your eggs in one basket. Certainly that's the case when the service provider is a smaller company. I happen to like, with my clients, I put them on either Google, Amazon Web Services, Microsoft. Those are companies that are likely to stay around for a while. But the concern would be if the company went out of business and your data was on one of their services, you just lost access to all of your data, most likely. Even if you had a guarantee, they're out of business, if that's the case. Usually the bigger companies, you don't worry about them. So if you were running an application on a particular company, maybe what you do is you back up your data to a different service provider. If the first service provider happened to go out of business, you'll struggle for a little while, but at least you've got your backups and you can recover with a new service provider. So I would say that's probably something to be very aware of. But the bigger players are usually a sure bet of reliability.
So you probably want to have a backup under any circumstances, no matter which provider you're using, correct?
In my opinion, yes. I think it's a misconception that just because we're running our application at a big service provider that we don't need backups, because backups are needed for different things. If the facility had a problem, at least you would be able to recover the data. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you go through audits at a company, and if that's the case, you need a certain point in time, and you can recover at that point in time. So there are reasons why you want to back up periodically, separate from just storing your data in the application, even if it's on the cloud.
Okay. How about security and making sure that they're virus-free and things like that on their servers? Is that something to be concerned with?
You know, it's a very good point. A lot of times what we're going to think about is, well, the servers are over there at that company. They'll make sure that the virus scanning and such are there. And you really have to be clear on what they're protecting and what is really kind of your responsibility. Or if it's your responsibility and you want them to protect it. So I'll give you an example. A service provider who's using supporting your server, but you installed an application on it, they're going to make sure that their server infrastructure doesn't have viruses, but they may not be making sure that your specific data doesn't have viruses coming from your users and connectivity. Mm-hmm. So you would still have to make sure that all your users, PCs, other servers that connect also have virus scanning. Of course, if you're contracting for the full suite of software being delivered via the cloud provider, I'd say they're probably protecting that as well. But you have to be a little bit careful. Make sure you ask all those questions.
Okay. Is there any way to protect against some sort of internal threat? If there's a company that you're working with, maybe they've got somebody who's disgruntled. And again, is it just putting backups in place? Is there anything else that can be done?
In terms of the cloud world, the cloud world by itself, cloud computing may not necessarily protect you automatically. And the reason why is, if your data is managed off-site, or if your data was managed on-site in your own server, you may still have a network administrator or employees that are accessing the data in the way that they should. Well, if you have a disgruntled employee who decides just to delete all files or such, you would have to take the same sort of concerns with your applications externally stored as you would internally stored. Data backups are a great way to do that. You can also back up images related to security settings and such, so that if you had some big loss, at least you can recover that fairly quickly.
Okay. David, we're starting to run a little short on time. Any other concerns that you want to make sure people think about as they might consider cloud computing?
It certainly becomes important that some of the points we talked about, make sure you ask those types of questions to the cloud service provider. Anything that you would ask to someone when you were installing software, installing hardware on your own servers in-house, or if you're a general retail user, regular old person like us, any of those questions you'd ask to any of those service providers, ask the same questions to the cloud providers. Make sure that they are providing all the services that you need. Make sure you're aware that there's some things they may not provide. Also, you'll want to understand what is their maintenance and support schedule. So, you know, I think sometimes when people working in-house, we were all saying, well, we can call the network administrator in the middle of the night and he'll get up and fix it. Mm-hmm. Well, make sure that the service providers at the service that you're contracting, that they have people for the hours that you need as well.
Very good advice. David, thanks so much for coming in and talking about cloud computing this evening. I'll again, let you kind of share briefly your contact information that you might want to share. And also, David has an excellent blog that he publishes, and he's covered some of these topics on his blog and many others. So if you want to share any contact info, phone number, email address, whatever.
Well, thank you. Well, thanks again for inviting me. It's always good to be here, to come back. So, again, I'm with Princeton Technology Advisors. We service, Central New Jersey is where I'm based, but I've got clients in Washington, D.C. and St. Louis, so virtually. And if you need to call my office, my number is 609-454-6010. And my website is PrincetonTechAdvisors.com, all one word. And all my contact information is there as well.
Great. Thanks again, David. This has been Technology Today with your host, Rich Kesmer. Feel free to give me a call during the day at 908-419-2834 with any technology questions or topics you'd like to hear about on the show. And I will remind you, as always, to please make sure you're backing up your important data. And have a great week, everybody. And don't text and drive.